get there. Get there. Get on the mic.
You turn a little bit towards you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
No, I'm good. We in here. We live?
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know. Mic check. 1, 2, 1, 2. What it do? You know, we back at it. It's your boy, Mako, with the fucking break.
Back at it like a crack at it.
All right, yes, sir. Mic check. 1, 2, 1, 2. What it do? Coming back at you. It's your boy, Mako, with the fucking Draco. Ron Ladon, Toby, One Kenobi, and my boy, Rodney Twin Tweezy. Back for episode 28, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
You already know how we fucking do. Coming at you still live during Aries season. We got a little bit over a week and a half left, man. I'm the last birthday on the cast, or at least the last Aries birthday on the cast, man. Coming up April 11th, niggas going to Miami. Much needed vacation.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Nigga has not seen the ocean in a minute, but I'm lit.
Can't wait to hear the sound.
Yeah,
oh, you want?
Yeah, but I'm super excited to see that. Yeah, take me to Miami. Yeah. Please take me to the fucking beach so I can see. I just feel like the ocean for me has always been super therapeutic. It literally feels like when I stand on the beach, like the water is taking a lot of the like negative energy and grief and pain away. Like literally, like in a spiritual way. So I'm super excited about that. But coming at you with these hot topics, we're gonna just kick it up from kind of where we left off last week. We touched on Godzilla versus King Kong.
Title should have been King Kong versus Godzilla.
Yeah.
We're being honest.
Yeah.
It was that nigga's movie.
Yeah, it was. So I feel like everybody should have had enough time to watch it. So, I mean, I guess spoiler alert going forward, but it's been like a week and a half, and that shit on HBO Max. You should have somebody else HBO Max account. So I guess, what did y'all feel about the movie? Before we get it started, scale of 1 to 10, what would you rate it?
I have an incomplete scouting report on it, unfortunately. So yes, I'm probably the only one who didn't see it. Mm-hmm. But like I kind of ran up on it on solo watching it and saw the ending. Mm-hmm. I'm just gonna fucking say it. And the ending, the whole climactic battle, and that shit was surprisingly that's fire. And well, I saw who won because if you think about it, Kong versus Zilla, that motherfucking Zilla won that shit, bro. Yeah. So I was like, oh damn, we were doubting him, but y'all that. That was fine.
Yeah, I actually rated it about a 7.5, 7.7 out of 10.
I was going to say 7.5 if I'm looking at it from an analytical point of view, but like from like just like, I don't know, just like from just coming from like wanting to see these two niggas just fighting, I would give it an 8.
Yes, same thing. Because I was like, bruh, it ain't much else you can ask for, bro. There's a monkey and a lizard and you nigga fighting, but like literally, there were moments in the movie. The movie became a super solid 8 for like literally the same thing. From an analytical standpoint, I was like, I think this movie's like a 7.5. But then like it became an 8 for me at the moment where me and Akeem were watching the movie and they revealed that the antagonist was going to be Mechagodzilla. And I was like, oh my God, the only thing that could make this movie better is if they gave King Kong like a sword and then they gave this nigga a big ass battle axe. I was like, oh no, like I can't ask for nothing else.
Give
like
him his shit back. You saw Godzilla put the his power back into it.
Ultimate combo. And it was dope how they did like I feel like with this movie in specific, they took things because you're supposed to do this, but they capitalized off of the dope things that made the other three MonsterVerse movies good or like made them like the highlights of those movies. So for example, in the original Godzilla movie, people were mad because it was like it was based off the original Godzilla, but there was only like 15 minutes of God. If that, I don't even think it was 15 minutes. I think it was like 7 or 8 minutes of Godzilla in the original Godzilla.
Also like a build up to Godzilla type shit.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't really mind that, but where I got pissed off at was I thought that during the end when they showed him doing stuff, it was going to be like, okay, now he's out doing shit. They kept cutting that shit. Like, it would literally be like the shit would start to get crazy and then they'd close doors and we wouldn't see. Like, we did get that really solid scene with him beating up whatever that Muto thing was and shooting, like, the blue fire breath down his throat, which was really fire. So there was that. The King Kong movie was pretty solid. I don't know. It was definitely missing something. And I feel like in the Godzilla, not Godzilla versus King Kong, in the Godzilla King of the Monsters movie that had all the different monsters in it, one of the biggest, it had several problems, but one of the biggest things with that was like the scaling just didn't feel right. Like with this movie, when these niggas was on the screen fighting, you felt how big they were, bro. Yeah. You literally felt, oh damn, millions of niggas are in fact dying.
Yeah, like, you saw bodies flying across this
line. Like, yeah. Niggas was getting whacked.
PG-13 censorship.
But it was just, still even the fact of like how they did like the buildings and shit. Like literally seeing King Kong like jump from building to building, avoiding a Omega death laser that's destroying shit. It's like, oh damn, you didn't get that same
legendary
sense. You didn't get that same sense in the other movies. And even when they were like, and I think it's also that in a way they put too many monsters on the screen in the last movie. So it was like in this one it felt like they took all those elements and the positives most of the positive from all those elements.
I felt like they gave you an ending without really giving you an ending.
And
pure Michael Bay King
and the newest one.
Oh, the newest one.
Cause like in theory they could pick it up and make another one, but you can tell this is what they were definitely building towards. Also, the only real gripe that I have about the movie was the humans in the movie, because like,
oh my gosh, they really just put them in there for face. I feel like personally, one of the funniest moments, and it was right when Rodney came in and was watching it with me, and he was like, does this nigga have a flip phone? And it was just funny because it's like, I don't know, it just, it kind of really didn't put you in like an era where you may have all this technology and you have a mecha Godzilla, you know, and it's just the storyline building up to the big fights, and it didn't really have substance.
I don't think, like, I didn't necessarily have a problem with the people being there. I had a problem with how it was executed. You had two different groups of humans that were essentially driving the story, but, well, not essentially, that were driving the story, but never interacted. And then also, like you said, Paperboy had a flip phone and he was a super paranoid dude, but around him there was no super advanced technology, even from the Apex company, to be like, oh, okay, you guys are making a Mecha Godzilla. Yeah. Like, there were no real hints to that until they broke in Hong Kong. If you're thinking about it, okay, it's stereotypical. It's in Hong Kong, so that's where you have all the tech. And, you know, Godzilla attacks China. But, like, that was kind of the thing. It was like, yeah, no, you never... Like, legitimately, the two groups of people that are driving the film don't interact at all. They just happen to come together at the right point at the very last scene of the movie. That's the only time you really see them. And it was like, yeah, if you have them... You can have them communicate and create another conflict within the side of the movie to assure, because the setup is we have Kong captured in this habitat to protect him from Godzilla. Whereas the whole thing is, no, there's a misunderstanding. Godzilla is attacking Apex. So you have one group trying to protect Kong, and you have one group trying to figure out what Apex is doing. Why don't they ever come together to communicate and say, oh, hey, no, we need to get Kong here faster so the deaf girl with sign language can communicate to Kong. Like, that would have been a better...
That was my favorite character. Like, that was really the only character that I really felt because...
But she didn't talk.
Amazing.
That was why.
Exactly. And, but the thing is, like, specifically for her part, they did a specific thing where they deafened everything around her while she was talking to Godzilla. And, like, it emphasizes the point that she's deaf and that she's literally just
You have to feel it and everything.
She's just seeing scenery and she's just feeling, like, talking to him, paying attention to
his... Her scenes would have been great to see, like, in theaters. Like,
that was just...
In an IMAX theater with the surround sound. Her scenes would have been great for
that. That was crazy.
The irony, but...
Them crackers.
Were actually the best part, the best humans in the movie outside of that one white girl. Because the thing about it was, my thing was, I really only had a problem with the side group that went to Hong Kong. Because it's like, even
Millie
though...
Bobby Brown, Paperboy, and the dude from Deadpool 2.
Yeah, that's the only part of the movie.
I don't know if people...
Three.
Yeah,
I don't know, like, because the other people that were around Kong, it literally made more sense, right, with the plot.
And then they were with one of the monsters, mm-hmm, so you, yeah, kind of, it was like they drove Kong, because the Kong was the protagonist throughout the, yeah, whole movie. Mm-hmm. So them being with him drove that.
And then
story.
He's like, and then, yeah, and then he doesn't talk. So even in the fact of, like, literally everybody on the team, you had the most important was the sign language girl, yeah, and the sign language girl. That other random villainess that they threw in there wasn't necessary, really. Well, I'm so happy, kind of. Yeah, I was too. Kind of, because you needed a I don't think
that was what your connection between the two groups were.
Yeah, but I don't think the
I should say.
Yeah, but I don't think she still gets more of a pass than Paperboy, because they literally could have just showed a villainous set of people, like, yeah, we got a big ass robot in here and we basically waiting for them to do blah. Like,
bro,
literally,
they didn't even have to Paperboy's story.
That's, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Paperboy was, like, pure, I feel
like,
relief. That
should,
I had,
like,
no,
the movie
would have
been a lot better if they didn't have.
Glad
this.
We agree on that, because I was gonna say.
And the thing was, the most aggravating part was they gave him
so he can stay there.
The most aggravating part was they gave him the majority of his part when Godzilla, Mechagodzilla, and Kong were fighting. And I was like, literally, these niggas would be brawling. I'd be like, they cut the Paperboy and what they were doing. I'd be like, I don't want to see this shit. Paperboy, bro, these niggas are hooking. Like,
Paperboy would have been perfectly fine if he was just dialogue. Mm-hmm. Like, the way he was initially introduced with, mm-hmm, the podcast. Mm-hmm. If you just had that, yeah, going on. Mm-hmm. And then, like I said, the Apex dude's daughter, mm-hmm, connecting with the director's daughter, mm-hmm, because the people who went to Hong Kong with Apex, mm-hmm, were breaking it down, mm-hmm, why Godzilla was attacking, mm-hmm, and the people with Kong were explaining why they needed to protect Kong, mm-hmm, but you never brought them together. Like, this movie could have been 2 hours, mm-hmm, it could have been 2 hours and 10 minutes, it could have, mm-hmm, been 2 hours and 15 minutes, mm-hmm, where you then bring them together, mm-hmm, to showcase better. It had a very, you have to save Martha feel, mm-hmm, with Kong and Godzilla not fighting each other, mm-hmm, because it wasn't really explained. Like, I don't necessarily, it wasn't as bad as you got to save Martha, mm-hmm, but
you mean
because,
as far as them not, like, beefing at the very end?
Yeah, like it.
But I think the way that they explained it was, like, Kong was literally like, nigga, fuck you. Well, not fuck you, but he was like, it was established that Kong would beat this nigga's ass, I think is basically what happened.
Yeah, but no, but I'm talking about when the girl signed that, after Kong was already down, that Godzilla is not the enemy. There is something else.
Oh, yeah, but
like,
he already,
that could have been fleshed out a lot,
oh,
better,
yeah,
in,
yeah,
the sense,
yeah,
of,
yeah,
the two just groups are trying to get to each other to say, hey, you guys are down here. Because they knew, as the audience, we knew, of course we know everything that was going on. Mm-hmm. But even in the sense, everything was set up perfectly fine. Even, mm-hmm, when they cut to the different factions of the humans to say, oh, yeah, they're waiting on them to get the stuff from Hollow Earth to, mm-hmm, create this superpower. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, this, mm-hmm, makes sense. Oh, they're breaking in. Speaking, oh, okay, they know what's going on. So if you got them together to be like, intercept a communication between his daughter and him, and Millie Bobby Brown is like, oh, no, that's what they're doing. We have, mm-hmm, to communicate. Like, you're all in the same city. If you can just make them come together in fucking Hong Kong with all the billions of people and say, just stand there at the end, you could fuck around and be like, oh, they can communicate with, okay, each other.
And even, like,
that would have made the humans better. For
speaking
me.
Of the Middle Earth scene, I really did enjoy that scene. So my favorite thing about, so another thing about this movie, this movie paid homage to, and I had to watch the Watch Mojo on this. And some of the things were kind of ass pulls, but they paid homage to a lot of, like, throughout history, like, and they've done this, I think, in actually all the King Kong or all the MonsterVerse movies. They've made a lot of homage to, like, previous movies. They pay homage to the and one of my favorite things about King Kong is how they explore his, like, island. And, mm-hmm, like, that was my favorite thing, yeah, about the Peter Jackson one, the one that came out in 2005. Like, it was the fact that, like, the best part of the movie for me is just, like, them getting on the island, mm-hmm, and then
experiencing,
yes, all, yeah, the different fucking creatures. And then, like, when they fall in that insect pit, yeah, and all them fucking worms.
A phobia come to life, man. Dude. No, I'm sorry. That made me cringe, but it was such, like, a cool cringe.
Yes, dude. I had a small phobia for a moment, but then I kind of got over it. Because that's actually my my favorite scene in that fucking movie because that shit was so it was so left field, bro. I was like,
surreal.
Bro, it was, bro. What the fuck about even the music, like scores are really important in music and in movies.
That scene was hollow.
Bro, it sounded so literally the music in the background is like,
I'm going to get on that. I'm going to score movies.
Yes, dude, it's amazing, bro. The music in the background literally sounds like heavenly, and these niggas are getting mopped, bro. Like there was, I remember super specifically, there was that one dude who was like Irish or something like that. He was best friends with that Asian nigga, and the Asian nigga was getting eaten by worms. And for whatever reason, I guess he was just like angry as fucking, was like, I'm gonna die. He walked over in the pit and started cutting the fucking worms' heads off, and then they started like eating his, yeah. And then one of them,
is a legend, by the way.
Dude, like, so those have always been my favorite things. So I really enjoyed when they went into Middle Earth because it was like just that concept of how the physics works and how the physics bent. Like, you could literally see, like, the way, like, so the way that they had it set up, I think, was just like, gravity is just inverted.
Yeah, when he first came in and just how they showed the parallels between, like, the different, like, I guess, how, I don't know, like, the gravity of just,
well, it's
that's how it works.
He's full of each.
He's essentially at Earth's core.
Yeah.
So you've got the axis pulling. There's a certain point where it's pulling against each other.
Yeah, exactly. So you have
literally
a literal line of gravitational pull just going in opposite direction, and the way they showed him like kind of flipping through it was just so amazing.
Yeah, it was trippy.
It kind of looked like it was like a fisheye lens, kind of look, but like it was just
That kind of literally the moment when they like look, because I understood the physics when they show like how the horizons. I was like, bro, that is so beautiful, because like in all actuality, like that in, unless it was literally a man-made structure, that wouldn't be able to exist because of how gravity works. Yeah. But like if it could, that shit was crazy. And then like just exploring like the lore of things has always been such a cool concept for me. Even in, not Kong, but Godzilla, in the Godzilla movie before this one, they showed where Godzilla lived. And it was super cool when they went down. It was kind of the same concept. They were like, we got to go through a tunnel to go to basically this nigga's domain. So they go to, but then you look around and it's these big ass, huge, it's a huge ass temple underwater. And you're like, oh, damn. Who the fuck could have even made this shit? And then this nigga lives basically next to a nuclear volcano or some shit like that. And then, like, also the concept that it's, like, Kong and Godzilla have, like, ancient beef was, like, super cool for me. Like these niggas naturally didn't fuck with each other outside of just the apex predator shit. Like,
Titans and all that shit.
Like, the actual axe is made from one of Godzilla's ancestors. So, like,
is there another iconic monster that could, they could fight?
They're
did they
not,
give like a sneak peek? Or
not
is at the end of it.
The only
they didn't hint at a different monster,
because this is what they've been building up to since 2014, I believe. Now, in theory, because of the way the MonsterVerse is set up, and I looked it up too, I was like, is there another movie? They might make something involving Mothra, because like
Mothra.
Did you see Godzilla, the King of the Monsters?
The one that came out before this. Godzilla solo movie, right?
Mm-mm. That was the one that was like him, Ghidorah, Rodan, and Mothra.
Yeah, I think at the beginning of the movie they showed like how they eliminated different monsters. Maybe Hydra was one of them.
And basically the
Cerberus, maybe.
They were like the Hydra one is Ghidorah. That's the one that they were like, they put it inside of the, what's his face? They put it inside of the skull inside of the robot. But the thing is with that one, like, this is what I mean by, like, they pay homage to a lot of things. Like, like they did most of the monsters in the last movie. So in the other ones, they did Godzilla. Like, originally they did Godzilla first, and then it was, like, Godzilla versus Mothra and Godzilla versus Rodan, and then Ghidorah, who was from space, and then niggas got to team up to fight this nigga because he's really fucking strong. Mm-hmm. And then somehow Mechagodzilla gets in the fucking picture some type of way.
He's gone already.
So I don't know. I don't know if they're going to actually make it. And then Godzilla and King Kong fight. Like I said, they pay homage to a lot of stuff. Like even that scene where they put Godzilla in that big ass net and fly him across the sea in helicopters. That's like when they, in the original Godzilla versus King Kong, I think the way they got Godzilla to get next to King Kong was they put this nigga in a net and put a bunch of balloons over it and just like push the balloons over to the island, or like like I think in the original, and I think in the original Godzilla versus King Kong, King Kong actually won. Like it was some cheesy shit, like both of them niggas fell in the ocean type shit, but King Kong was the only nigga to be able to like walk away or something like that. But
that was also a good scene. The first fight, they fight in water, and then you fight in Godzilla's habitat, so you see how he's at an advantage until the which was a good aspect of them using the humans in the movie to help drive the story. But that was a really good scene too.
I saw a funny meme where it was like any Rick Ross song fits well with King Kong, King Kong jumped off of the
the choppers like he's the
and he shoots the Godzilla shoots the beam right through the shit. That shit was hilarious.
I'm gonna actually test that theory, bro. I hope they've somebody made a thread of that shit. But alright, man. Next topic of discussion. I don't know how. I always forget what our topics are exactly when we sit down. I'll contemplate them throughout the day, and then we gotta
talk about the first ballot Hall of Famer.
Oh yes, the truth. We're here for the truth and nothing but the truth.
The truth will set you
the
free.
The truth will set you free, my nigga.
So, oh, man. Paul Pierce. The Truth Pierce. Was
Paul, I had a better career than Dwayne Wade Pierce.
Oh my god. Bro.
Paul, I'm a better wing shooter than Klay Thompson Pierce.
Oh my god. Paul fucking Pierce was on Instagram Live with 316 or 61?
I think it was 316.
315.
260. Oh, this has 267.
It had to be multiple Instagram Live. It had to be. He had to go live more than once.
I think it was like 3 something.
Yeah. But was basically like living it up, living his best life. I don't have a problem with, but it was more so the thing that, like, it's the fact that this thing has become a meme now.
He's a whole meme for unemployment. Gosh. That's so bad.
Also, I'm not gonna lie.
Wasn't it that he was supposed to share it only like to his close friends? But
you can't share live to your close friends.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It's literally live.
It's live.
And I feel like random people were in there. He had to know he was live at some point in time. Like
the comments were going off, bro.
He was fucked up.
Yeah, it was hilarious. I feel like he went live more than once, or was it just one live?
Because I don't follow Paul Pierce. I never saw it come up.
I feel like
I just saw it on Twitter.
The nigga was smoking. They were talking swishers.
About his life. He had strippers in the back.
Escorts.
Living it up, man.
He was getting a haircut.
Who did he say? Call somebody.
It looked like niggas was playing either dominoes or spades or something on the table.
Mm-hmm. He was living, man.
It was a lot going on.
But this is very interesting, bro. That was one of the funniest moments I've ever. It's not ever, but that was one of the funniest moments I've experienced in a while. It was very surreal. Like seeing Paul Pierce, literally like a fucking stripper, like bouncing her tits, and then he turns the camera and then she starts like clapping her ass as he's just sitting there on camera, bro. That was some girl. Literally, the face rub. Like, there was a girl in the back twerking and people started throwing shit at her. Like, it's actually in this exact moment.
The truth.
Oh, yeah, he was fucked up.
He was gone, bro. You could see it all in his eyes.
He was fucking gone, bro. Yeah, Paul Pierce is the fucking truth, bro. Also, I don't know. What are y'all opinions on Paul Pierce? Not the public figure, but the basketball player. Because people seem to think this nigga's just dog shit.
Paul Pierce is the truth.
He just puts himself in the spotlight where he shouldn't be talks that shit.
I think they threw ice on it. But, Paul Pierce was legit. Paul Pierce was really the truth. Like, it's an appropriate moniker.
Definitely hit his array of game winners.
Right, you know, it was just
disgusting.
Like, he played for the Celtics. Like, I hate the Celtics, so.
Yeah. Like, somebody was that, but like, look at NBA legend. What the fuck? Somebody was like, some NBA legend Paul Pierce, and then, it's Twitter, but whatever. Nigga was like, I need to chill out on the legend talk. I'm like, bro,
he's a legend. Like,
he got his name for a reason.
Yeah.
Look him up.
I think it is the fact that he does put himself in the spotlight or say the wrong things at times, bro. Like,
but a lot of that was after his playing career.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, now granted, when did he retire? 2017?
That had to be 2017, yeah.
Because he retired after Kobe. So that would be like 2017, 2018. The last 10 years of his career, the last 5-6 years of his career, like, he wasn't.
He was still pretty solid, though.
No, it wasn't about his game. It was just about how hard that Celtics big three on one hated on Ray Allen and then held on to that one title that they got together, mm-hmm. which, you know, they could have had a great run from 2007 to 2010. Mm-hmm. It's just towards the back end, they had too many injuries. And then after 2010, there was no way they were getting past LeBron again. Mm-hmm. But, like, Paul Pierce literally was a problem. Like, you do need to, like, put some respect on his name. I feel the same thing about Chuck. When people talk about Chuck crazy, mm-hmm. I'm like, no, go back and watch mm-hmm. Charles Barkley
yeah.
highlights
yeah.
And understand why he's on Inside the NBA.
Because a lot of things do get lost in kind of like translation. Like, I feel like some years from now, people might say the same thing about Russell Westbrook. Like, if he does, especially if he doesn't like get a ring, like, which he probably won't. I don't know if I especially at this point, unless Russell joins a team way later on in his career, I don't see him getting a ring. And even then, I'm pretty sure people would be like, well, you're older now. But I feel like there are, like, a lot of people that get lost in, like, the... Because it, like, not like I said, because we grew up, like, watching this nigga, right? Mm-hmm. But, like, within the same perspective of, like, literally, and we also saw Paul Pierce. But there are people who didn't really get to see Paul Pierce that are, like, experiencing mm-hmm. the NBA now. And it's not like... Like, they have that one ring. Like,
I don't think it's going to happen to Russell Westbrook.
Really?
No. Because... I don't expect Russell Westbrook to have a broadcasting or any type of career like that outside of basketball, for one.
That makes sense.
But also,
that's what I was thinking.
Russell Westbrook averaged a triple-double for 2 years.
Yeah. But I guess
niggas aren't going to look at Russell Westbrook and mm-hmm. be like, right. he wasn't that good. Like, mm-hmm. nah. Like, Russell Westbrook will be fine. I think somebody like that would be like a Melo. People will definitely undervalue Melo.
Melo, LaMarcus Aldridge.
LaMarcus Aldridge is already undervalued.
Yeah.
I'll undervalue LaMarcus Aldridge right now.
Well, maybe not now because he's on the Nets.
Still, I'll still undervalue
LaMarcus he's still undervalued, right, but definitely Melo. Melo's probably the nigga.
But yeah, Melo's probably going to be the dude who is like, Melo wasn't that good, and then I got to go.
That shit don't even pull up right highlights. That shit,
man. And be like, look, man. They already tried it, trying to give LaMelo Melo's moniker, and I'm still not going for it. I know Melo was like, it's cool. I'm like, nah, bro.
His name is
LaMelo.
LaMelo is a superior ball, obviously.
Yeah, he is the best ball.
Yeah, what? Yeah, LaMelo is just a fucking superior.
What did y'all think of the ESPN's list of, like, top 25?
I did not read that
list. What?
The list is terrible. Yeah. I only saw the top 10. Trae Young is number 16. Yeah. LaMelo Ball is third. And that's just not true.
What is Luka Doncic has to be first, right? I don't know what the list is. What is the list? What is it composed of? What is the little list?
You send it in the
Luka is first, Zion is second, LaMelo is third. This is the top players under 25. Top 25 players under 25 years of age.
John Morant needs to be.
And like
Jason Tatum is fifth.
Least.
Okay.
Luka being first.
John Morant is 15. Trae Young is 16.
Wait, go on.
Okay, Luka's first, Zion second, LaMelo third, Donovan fourth, Jason Tatum fifth, De'Aaron sixth. Ben Simmons 7th, Devin Booker 8th, Bam Adebayo 9th, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander 10th, Brandon Ingram 11th, Jaylen Brown 12th, Jamal Murray 13th, Michael Porter Jr. 14th, Ja Morant 15th, Trae Young 16th,
Jesus,
Mikal Bridges 17th,
what?
Domantas Sabonis 18th, Anthony Edwards 19th, DeAndre Ayton 20th, Tyrese Haliburton 21st, John Collins 22nd, Jared Allen 23rd.
I don't got that kind of time.
Lonzo Ball 24th, Colin Sexton 25th.
Yeah, no, that's not a good list at all. Where did they
fuck up first, y'all? Of the many mistakes,
LaMelo Ball at third.
Yeah, LaMelo Ball at third is not like so.
Okay, well then maybe he has the potential
for 19. There was someone around. Like,
this is he's played what 40 something games.
Was like really just like
so. Same thing. How people hyped up Zion.
This is Zion's
second year.
Can you send the list?
Because there were a few that I was literally like, right,
what.
I could understand you putting Trae Young, right? Trae's not debatable. In theory, I could understand Trae is top 7 under 25. Look, in theory, I could understand Trae is top 7, yeah, it should be top 10 for sure. It should be like Luka, Jaylen Brown, 1A1B.
What?
Who else?
Jaylen Brown as top.
Not Jaylen Brown. Jason Tatum.
I don't even think Jason Tatum.
Not Jason Tatum.
Not Jason Tatum.
Definitely no. Jason Tatum.
No. Jason Tatum, top 10, right?
Jason Tatum is definitely top
2. I think top 5, yeah, but not top 2.
Who are the Jason Tatum? Who are three other people who are better than Jason Tatum under 25?
You said Luka.
Who else is on? I feel like I would take Zion over Jason Tatum.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. Literally. At this point, you have to prove Zion is the better pick between the two.
Like,
they weren't in the same draft, but still, no.
But
I'm okay. Zion? It's not that I don't.
Zion. Where did you send it?
To your Twitter.
Zion over. I'm literally taking Zion is too.
He is completely a bully, man. He's completely a bully, and it makes no sense how well he is inside the paint.
It literally doesn't. He'll miss the shot, and then he has a higher probability of making his second shot than he did his first shot sometimes.
And he will get his second shot.
Yes, yes.
When it comes off the rim.
It literally is like, oh, whoops. He's so huge, bro. The nigga just pushes people out the way. It doesn't, like, people like that are cheat codes.
And
like,
then he's quick with the bounce to get the rebound or in position.
All right, let me see.
To overpower. It's crazy.
This isn't De'Aaron
Fox. You gotta worry about Jason taking unnecessary fadeaway jumpers or losing the ball.
He doesn't do that. He's drastically cut that down.
Michael Porter
in those long twos and unnecessary fade.
Yeah. He's still to blame
Michael
for
Porter
the Celtics.
Needs to go down. De'Aaron Fox needs to go down.
He is not to blame for the Celtics issues. Right now?
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is actually, I think, pretty decently placed.
I feel like DeMontis Sabonis should go up.
To what? 12?
No.
Michael Porter Jr. is not 14?
I think at least like 15.
No, they say he needs to go down. He's not 14? 16.
When we say down, we're talking about to first, right?
No.
Closer to first.
No, down to 25. Oh, okay. 25.
Michael Porter Jr. down to 25?
No, I didn't say that.
He needs, I think.
I
he,
mean, in that duration. In
who below him, other than maybe DeMontis Sabonis, and of course Trae Young and Ja Morant, should be up here, but that means other people up here should be down.
Yeah.
But excluding them, who on this list below him is better than him?
I didn't say anybody below
except
him is better than him.
The only other people may be John Collins.
I don't think John Collins is better than him. You said
but no,
you said
hidden.
Michael Porter Jr.?
Yeah.
Porter.
Y'all
I said he should go
Jackson.
Down a little bit.
He should go
down. That's what I said.
Like down from 14th or up
down
from 14th?
Down from 14th.
Like, so
down,
like,
he should
be
go
20th.
To like 18th. Like 18th. Like
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
18th.
Yeah.
You think
if you're
people
if you're
below
okay, wait. If you're putting
he just named three people.
Look, okay, you're putting
that.
I named that in a sense that there are three people above them that shouldn't be there. Like LaMelo should not be third. De'Aaron Fox should not be sixth.
DeAndre Ayton.
Brandon Ingram should not be 11th. Jaylen Brown should not be 12th. Michael Porter should be up there.
I'm gonna take.
If you're replacing those people and moving them down,
I'm gonna.
He definitely shouldn't be down.
No, I don't think he's better than the people you need.
No, I don't. I think he should be 18th or 19th because if you move him down to past 15 and 16, he's at 16 with Trae Young. I think DeAndre
Trae Young is top 5.
But you're still
like you have
him
you
down.
Have to rework you
that
have to
a,
rework
but you're
the
still
whole
I think but you say but no because ooh. I still but I still
I think
everybody
I don't think
I still think everybody above him is better than him. I literally think everybody above him is better. So like regardless he would be moved down at least two spots, and I also think Jared Allen and DeAndre Ayton are better than Michael Porter Jr. Like Jared Allen will literally change your entire like paint. Like
who?
Jared Allen? I'm taking Jared Allen over Michael Porter Jr. And I'm also taking DeAndre Ayton over Otto Porter Jr. because he can actually shoot pretty fucking well.
DeAndre
not saying
Ayton?
Yeah, I'll take DeAndre Ayton over Otto Porter Jr. He's they're playing really well right now. The Nuggets are also playing really well right now, but the Suns are playing
same
better.
Height, like,
the Suns are
Michael
playing
Porter
better because of Chris Paul.
He's able to stretch the floor.
But he's not as defensive minded. Like DeAndre
Michael Porter Jr.?
As defensive as DeAndre Ayton?
DeAndre Ayton is not that defensive minded.
More defensive. He's way more defensive.
He's not having that
how
great
tall
of a season.
Is Michael Porter Jr.? He's
6'10".
We have to see that now. Because
DeAndre Ayton is playing well, but he's not
Ayton
having
stats.
That
I mean,
that
the
great
Suns
of a season.
Are nine.
He's,
they're
the second
wins of their
yeah,
last 10
yeah,
games.
Yeah,
so
they are.
Somebody's doing
that's
their
what
job.
I mean.
Chris Paul
the
and Devin
team,
Booker
the
are
whole,
doing
but
their
they
job.
Were already DeAndre Ayton was on the team.
Nicely.
DeAndre Ayton was on the team last
he
year.
He was already
still
on the team, but he's still not fitting into that team like they should, like he should be.
I will still take him over Michael Porter Jr. Like I've seen him do more than Michael Porter Jr.
So I think De'Aaron Fox should probably go to
going down.
I think Devin Booker should be above De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah, absolutely, yes. He should be above De'Aaron Fox.
He needs to be like three, to be honest. I don't know. I feel like they I feel like they have LaMelo that far up the list because it's an ESPN list,
and all they do is show LaMelo.
It, I feel like it is a little bit of his potential because his eyes,
he's passing and doing crazy shit. But
he doesn't
have
enough under his belt. He played something like 40 games.
You know what I mean? I feel like we're looking at like Teen Gohan right now. It's like you got to see this nigga like truly, truly evolve.
Does Jamal Murray deserve to be 13th?
I think he should be higher. I'm gonna take him over Brandon Ingram and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I don't know if I'm gonna take him over Jaylen Brown.
I'll take him over. Who was the first person?
I'll take Brandon Ingram and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
But I probably won't take him over Jaylen Brown.
Really? But I think I can see that.
Jaylen Brown is having a hell of a season.
He's less streaky.
Jaylen Brown.
They're about the same level of streaky, actually.
Jaylen Brown, of most of these players, because Bam took his leap last year, Ben Simmons has been established. Brandon Ingram looks like he wants to take a leap, but he hasn't. Jaylen Brown's the only person on here who's seriously taken a leap more than anybody below him and more than most of these people up before him right now anyway, as you get up to maybe seven for Ben Simmons.
I feel like they would be
Devin Booker's been a problem forever.
I feel like everybody...
De'Aaron Fox is top 10, but he's not 6.
I don't even think he's top 10 if we're going to put...
I understand he's fast as shit, but like...
He's not just fast. De'Aaron Fox is having a hell of a season.
And he has control with his speed.
But De'Aaron Fox has all the intangibles. He really is a really great point guard. Like, yes, he has the speed and everything, but he also is... He's one of the driving forces as to why the Kings are up, at least performing decently well right now.
I still don't feel like he's
not six. No, but he is top 10.
I don't even think he's top 10 though, because for me to say top 10, that means I'm taking him over. I don't think he's better than Ben Simmons. I definitely don't think he's better than Devin Booker. Bam Adebayo, no. Yeah. And I don't think he's better. Either Jaylen Brown.
Top 15 for me.
Yeah, I'll say top 12.
He's
better than Shai.
He's better than Shai, but I said I was gonna replace Shai with Jamal Murray or Jaylen Brown. I'll take Jamal Murray or Jaylen Brown over De'Aaron Fox.
Boiling my blood, bro.
Yeah, it is.
Not 15 exactly. Or Trey.
I'll take De'Aaron over Brandon.
He's 11-12.
So yeah, that's like 12.
I'm rooting for Anthony Edwards all the time, bro.
Yeah,
I'm rooting for Anthony Edwards all the time.
Stay disciplined with yourself. Yeah, I am too.
Mm-hmm. Don't Tyrese Halliburton and De'Aaron Fox play on the same team?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't seen too many of the Kings games.
Right.
The Kings are really fun to watch.
Yeah, I have heard that.
The Kings are really fun to watch. When the Kings are locked in, they play really good basketball. Mm-hmm. De'Aaron Fox is the driving force of that. Tyrese Halliburton is a monster on both sides of the ball.
I did see him do.
Also, I wish they could flip Marvin Bagley for somebody good. In most cases, they are shot in the foot by Buddy Hill, but I still believe in Buddy. Kings are really good, and also shout out to Harrison Barnes because he was on that Warriors team. He had a terrible stretch of games when they blew the 3-1 lead, and then everybody was like, he was garbage. He also was drafted 7th overall, I believe, or something like that, or 8th. So, you know, you got to live up to that. But he's also having a really good season. He's carved out a really good career for himself as a quality starting forward in the NBA.
The way Dallas traded him on site.
Bro, in the game. They traded him. They pulled him from the game. And then the broadcasters were like, it's come to our attention that Harrison Barnes has been traded to the Kings. Like,
and they're just showing him look down the damn aisle, like, well.
And I know this is nitpicking at this point, kind of, but I feel like Colin Sexton is better than Lonzo Ball.
De'Aaron just
really? You don't think so?
No.
I've never seen Lonzo Ball really take over a game like that.
He did just have a really good 28-3 point.
He's taken over several games this season for the Pelicans.
Although they're still suffering.
He is shooting better.
I think. But I mean, like, really take I guess over. Now that he has to be compared to someone, his brother in the league, and Melo hogging all the
day in the limelight. But I feel like his brother's going to really motivate him to be better, though.
Heck yeah.
And he's definitely going
get
to.
Get back to his UCLA.
Lonzo has been improving greatly since he left L.A.
But it's also...
And like, also since he separated himself from LeVar more. He's been greatly improving his game. And now it's just showing up.
Yeah.
I definitely agree that LaMelo is going to push him because we see it with the Holiday brothers. Mm-hmm. We see it with Giannis and his brothers. We see it with Steph and Seth. Like, Powell and Mark used to push each other. Like, that's just going to happen. But Lonzo has consistently improved pretty much
these last 2 years. I was also saying this about Lonzo because I remember when
his vision actually, and...
Ronnie,
and
did you do me a favor?
Most of it is way better.
That fridge and grab the Red Bull out the fridge. Mm-hmm. I completely forgot about that. I was like, why do I feel like I'm dying right now? But the thing about Lonzo Ball, and I remember talking to several many people about this. It was like, dude, like, you cannot expect this nigga to just come out like a rookie and just like be the greatest nigga. I feel like niggas like really overhyped what he had going on, you know, and it wasn't like they didn't really like, I don't know. It's his dad's fault as well for selling him as like the greatest nigga to like
live on the court.
He also went to the Lakers.
Yeah, and he went to the Lakers. So all those things within consideration, it's like, eh.
And he was drafted by Magic, and he was supposed to be the second coming of Magic.
Mm-hmm. Why is Blake Griffin trending for dunking?
I thought he was trending for shooting a three from half court. That nigga shot a buzzer beater for basically like...
Wait, he really did that?
Yeah, that really happened.
Oh, yeah, he did that too.
He also did that. All right, man. Final topic of discussion. My man's DMX.
Pull through X.
Pull through, please. He's in the hospital for ODing, apparently. So, DMX is actually my favorite rapper for a long time until I really got, like, into rap for him. Like, I mean, he's... still up there, at least in my top like 10, but
he's definitely an influencer.
Yeah.
I feel like I feel like Tyler has a little bit of influence from DMX.
He definitely does.
And it's just DMX's influence is just crazy. Just the way he was just able to just drop two projects within a year and they go platinum.
Both go platinum.
In the day and age that he was in, and just
his
background, his troubled background, sad boy background. You know, it's incredible.
My mom put me on a DMX as a kid, but I don't know. I felt like I gravitated to his music as well too. But you can see that literally even what you're talking about with Tyler being influenced. I feel like DMX and definitely Eminem influenced Tyler a lot, but that generation of both of them, like the really like angry, like like say what the fuck I want to say type shit. Like DMX has some really 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 dark crazy shit, man. But it's very, he has such a troubled past. It's such a troubled life. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Especially going like in and out of jail. Thank you. And like struggles with like crack and stuff, man. Crack is like demonic. Like, I don't know, like,
and it even started before that. Like, I think the video I watched was just basically saying how like at a young age, like, his mom just like dropped him off at some camp type shit. And like he just entered into a state of like bury everything. Like, you know, conceal your emotions, you know, you have to be strong. In the face, basically be a dog. Like, he was, so.
Like, making himself into, like, an animal.
Yeah.
And then that, you know, I talked to Toby about this a little bit, and I also talked to Akeem about this. I feel like one of my, I don't know, cool sense, it's like sometimes I feel like I learn things, but I don't know exactly what I'm learning until somebody else articulates it, and then it's like, oh, okay. But one of the things me and Akeem have talked about is this concept of, like, integrating like your shadow into like your life and your reality. So like one of the things about, so especially because white people have spread like their religion all over the world and stuff. Everybody wants to be like Jesus, and it's because Jesus is the ultimate light figure. And people have this perception of like, I need to be like a perfect person because Jesus was the perfect person, and people would be like, I should strive to be like Jesus, when that's not even possible because like you literally cannot be a perfect individual. And what does that even like mean in the grand scheme of things? And we should, this philosopher, his name is Carl Jung, I believe. He emphasizes this point that like we should try to become our most whole self and our most whole individual, because it's like literally the most demented sick people are, in fact, they're all normal people, but it's the fact that they take those dark aspects of themselves and they suppress them.
And that trauma basically eats them alive, and it's it's like if you're not going back and like going back and attacking those things, addressing those things, you're not really going to learn from your situations, and it's just going to be a never-ending cycle.
And then like, and then the things that like, it's kind of like I said this, I think I said this super specifically, it's like, so your shadow is a part of you, and those dark aspects, because you're not a perfect being made of perfect light.
You have to embrace your darkness.
You have to embrace your darkness, and it is a part of you. And a lot of times people get caught up in like, I need to put the darkness like away. But the thing is, shadows grow in darkness. Like they literally like, and your shadow is literally always connected to you, even if you do not see it. It could be like, it's just underneath you. But then there's a point in time where the fucking, the lights go away, and then the shadows grow bigger. And like, it's just that concept of like, some people are better at harnessing it. Like you can definitely tell in DMX's music, he went through a lot of like just trauma and stuff, and this is like his best way of like dealing with it, because like from suppressing so many feelings and stuff, and now I guess having a platform to be the ability to just rap and make music and go into a booth and just fucking yell and do what the fuck he wants to do. Like it's kind of the same thing with Eminem. Do I think Eminem ever killed somebody with a machete? I sure as fuck hope not, but like I can tell like he definitely felt that way, like just through like, I don't know, just like the energy that he brings to rap. Like DMX was like literally
fucking Stan song.
DMX lived his raps though.
It's like crazy because this isn't really the first time that he's had like a fall when he's like just getting like
back,
you know, recognition again and and being in the limelight. And so it's just, I don't know, I really hope he finds this like medium into like you know, his limelight, and that he gets better. But I don't know, from reports it seems that he's on
life support.
He's on life support. He has COVID complications.
Oh man. It's like,
I saw something that, I don't know, was it XXL that reported? They said it was like, they reported that he had COVID, but then they said he didn't. I don't know.
Okay, that was the last report I saw, was
They said,
they were COVID complications, and that his family was flown out to the hospital. There's been a lot of stuff, and I've mostly just, because I've mostly just seen them on Twitter. And of course, I look for verified checks, so I don't, you know, I haven't read the articles. Plus, I mean, they're just hard articles to read when you know X's story more and the stuff. Like, when, of course, like when I first heard the news, I just went back and listened to X. But when I first heard the news, of course, I didn't believe it because I saw it from TMZ. And then, the first thing that popped into my head was, of course, like, keep fighting X, because he said, you know, the lyrics come along, like, I've been fighting.
He's always going to do that.
Right, like, I've been fighting for 19 years. You want to fight someone, fight these tears? It's like, bro, like, we know you've been through it. Like, you know, and your music has gotten a lot of people through a lot of different things from you going through the worst of it. So it's just like, to lose X would be devastating. So it's hard to follow it and read it and be like, yo. And just say a prayer and just hope for the best.
Just like, and for anybody who doesn't know, DMX was literally the biggest rapper on the planet at one point in time. Like, go back and see this nigga's
concert. Go back and look at his Woodstock concert.
Bro, it was
it looks like he's performing in front of a whole country.
He literally performed in front of everybody on the planet. Like, it was
literally.
Like, everybody on the earth, bro.
And like, everybody is singing the words, bro. Like, it's like
no phones, just vibes.
No phones, just vibes, man. Like,
I was even thinking about how crazy that is to do that in that time period. Cause see, now we now when we have big ass events like that, we got like big ass, like even if it's outdoors, we got big ass stadiums that we semi build, and like
I feel like you know those people are actually your fans.
Yes, right. Bro, it's literally like you look at the video and it looks like miles of people. No, people nowhere near the stage. A sea of people,
and even still, like, you know, because it's a festival, so of course you're gonna have a lot of people at a festival because you got a whole bunch of different artists. But look at where the sun's at, right? The sun is low, it's setting. So yes, he's a headliner, but he's not the headliner. He's not the main guy that everybody came to see. Yes, he's there later in the day, so people have settled in. But look, there's mosh pits in every pocket.
Bro, yeah, bro.
People are singing along. People are surfing. It goes on for what seems like miles. And everybody is moving around. Shut them down, open up shop.
Bro, no. You know what's funny about that song? He said he hated that song when he made it. Because he said, I think Swiss Beats or whatever, somebody, whoever was in the studio with him was like, nah, man, just go in there and do that shit. And he was like, bro, I hated that shit because it was just too ABC for me. Like, I didn't like, I don't really like, I wanted it to be more complicated. And then we did it. And then niggas was like, this is the most banging shit I've ever heard. Man, DMX, please pull through, man.
That sucks.
Yeah,
but I saw a part of the video too had said that like one of his first male role models that he looked up to
was the one who laced.
Yeah, was the one who laced his blunt. With crack.
Yeah,
at 14,
bro. Crack is demonic. That's what I'm saying. Oh my god, bro.
At 14, and it's just it's really like because I did watch through the video you sent.
Yeah.
And that part is heartbreaking, bro. Like. It's several parts in there where you just listen to DMX talk, and DMX has a lot of gems. But when you listen to him talk about his life, like bro broke down crying talking about his mom, how he felt abandoned.
I'm so sorry. That was one of my favorite memes. Now I can't even watch it no more.
It's not the same meme.
Oh.
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about. It's not the same one from this one. Yeah, it's not the one. No, I don't exactly remember what he was talking about in that meme, but you're talking about the one where he cries into his hand.
He's right. Yeah, he's like, he's fine.
That's not the same meme. It's not that meme. But it transitioned from that to, like you said, her dropping him off at the camp and then him bringing on the DMX persona. And then he comes back from the camp and then he's talking about how there's this dude who his dad was never around. So there's this one guy that made him want to be a rapper, that he would beatbox with, that he looked up to. He literally said, this was the only man that I ever looked up to and wanted to be.
Rap was new.
You just had to do something. Yeah. And he laced the blunt with crack and got him hooked on crack and essentially like back in the streets and stuff like that.
Crack is literally possibly, not even, like it's literally probably the most demonic substance to ever be on Earth. Specifically for what they did with it and what it's capable of. And I could not imagine being a 14-year-old. And even being a 14-year-old and smoking, it was definitely being a 14-year-old and smoking and having a blunt lace with
it's actual
crack.
It's like it hugs your demons.
Yeah.
So it's like,
dude, yes. That is the perfect analogy for that shit, bro. Like, because I used to have, I've talked about this dude several times. This nigga Jeff I used to fucking live with and work with smoking crack, bro. And it'd be so crazy because my mom called me and she was like, Jelani, we do need to watch Snowfall. And she just started talking about, I don't know. Because she's, like I said, she was the one, when I was a kid, she was the one listening to DMX. And she put me on DMX songs, DMX's music. And we were just talking about that concept of, like, I never thought of it like you said it. But, like, yeah, like, there are people who were super intelligent. Like, great. This nigga Jeff could have been a lot of great things, bro. He's a really smart nigga. I learned so much different shit from Jeff, even from politics. And like I said, this nigga was 60, bro. So, like, he's wise. He smoked crack, and he do shit. He'd literally, like, take the fucking work truck and disappear and just be gone for days. And it'd be like, bro, what the fuck, bro? I'll never forget one day this nigga literally sold a $2,000 mattress and then stuffed it with, like, homeless people's blankets, and then we delivered it to like a white. We delivered it to these white people's houses. We opened the box, and they expected one of these fluffy like memory foam mattresses, and it was literally the most disgusting. Like, literally, it was like
That just sounds nasty.
It literally, I was like, oh my God. Bro. I don't even know what the fuck happened, but. Exactly. It's the crack. My mom was even like, bro, it'd be like, especially when it hit the streets originally, she was like, the concept that it was like, people didn't know the long-term effect of crack. Like, it was like, how like, niggas smoke weed now, but niggas been smoking weed for years, so we see it. Originally, when crack came out, people were just like, all right, cool. So she was like, bro, it'd be like, beautiful women, just regular smart fucking women, and then like, you like, bro, why is half her hair going now? And she just walking around outside.
Yeah.
It was like, also everywhere. Yeah. Like, it wasn't even so much that they just didn't know what it did. It was literally everywhere. Mm-hmm. And
At first they didn't know what it did.
No, at first they didn't know what it did, but it still was like everywhere, mm-hmm. and it was addictive. Mm-hmm. And the high was it still is. I mean, it's not like crack's not still a problem. Mm-hmm. The high is short. I'm not speaking from experience. The high is short. The high is short and super addictive. I think the high for crack is like something for like 3 to 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then you come down and you crash and then you're under that. So it's like, but it was everywhere. Like, mm-hmm. literally, niggas was selling crack on every corner. Mm-hmm. In public, in extremely impoverished areas. Mm-hmm. And it was devastating. Mm-hmm. It's just absolutely devastating. And then it was heavily criminalized. Mm-hmm. Fucky Ronald Reagan.
Uh-huh. And then, because I know DMX he's been in and out of jail, like, a lot, man. Like, so... Man, we're praying for you, DMX. Please pull through. Love your music. Very influential. X
gonna give it to you.
Oh my God, bro. It was so many. I feel like every DMX song was my favorite song.
Honestly.
Oh my God.
Knock, knock, open up the door. For all the times,
these movies, this music.
Where my niggas at?
All right, man.
Bro, my like legit, my favorite fucking scene of Rick and Morty is when they steroid up and they hit every punch is to the beat of X Gonna Give It To You. Like, that's like my favorite scene.
Bro, this is
like, bro, like X is all the way through it. Fucking Belly.
Christmas won't be the same.
Belly, yeah, bro. Red nose reindeer.
What?
Had a really shiny nose.
Come on.
I post that on my Instagram every year, bro. It's not. I don't feel like it's Christmas until I play that.
Rudolph, nigga.
Connor and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen.
But do you recall the most famous reindeer of all? Come on.
Amazing, bro.
Had a very shiny nose. And if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows. I don't even remember the song, right?
Without a history. Forever.
Without a history.
Forever.
Without a history. What? All right, man. We love y'all. It's been a beautiful stream. Like I said, pull through DMX. We really need you out here, man. It'd be hard, man. That'd be a very rough way to segue through 2021. I think we've been doing pretty good so far, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Niggas haven't had to face anything. It's really just been the white people. Mm-hmm. But yeah, pull through X. Mm-hmm. I say this every week. Twitter is the best social media network, but we're also on Instagram. Instagram.com/ashark stream. Twitter.com/ashark stream. Facebook.com/ashark stream. You know the YouTube, all the streaming platforms. Black Lives Matter, NSARS. Stop Asian hate. Pull through X.
Love y'all.
Paul Pierce, a legend.
Paul Pierce ain't nothing but the
Paul
truth.
Pierce knew about the ESPN list. That's why he got out of this thing.
Let's go, man.
Next time you hear from me, I would have come from Miami.
Hey. Yes!
Same.
Happy Airy season, people.
Live it up. Invite. What's the Will Smith song? Bienvenidos in Miami.